Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. It's 8 o'clock. It is Thursday morning, the 15th day of November, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in and joining me today on KSJE 90.9 FM right here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we welcome our listeners at 103.3 FM. And of course, anywhere else on the planet, you are probably listening to me from our streaming service on our website, ksje.com. So welcome aboard, everyone. Glad that you are with us. We welcome also our viewers who are watching me this morning as well, because KSJE, as you well know, is a community-supported visual radio station. We couldn't do it without you. Find out more at ksje.com/support. Video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So welcome, everyone. Coming up in the next few moments, a year-end wrap-up with my guests from San Juan County. County Manager Mike Stark is here. Deputy County Manager Jim Cox is joining him as well. Hope you will stay with us for that conversation, which begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Mick Cass will be here next hour. It is Roving with the Arts, and Mick will be playing some great music for us for the holiday season and more. That's coming up 9:06 on KSJE. A reminder about our KSJE On the Road series of programs. We've been quite busy the month of December and even earlier than that. These are on our social media platforms. They are more visual type of programs. So we take the radio station on the road, basically, but we show you what's going on. You can check out the Farmington Christmas Parade, the Luminaria display here at San Juan College, the Festival of Trees, of course, and some other programs that we have done as well. The Balloon Rally way back in October, and lots more to come as well in the new year, but we want to remind you to check out those events and those programs on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as well. And our KSJE Extra this week, the program that we did with two members of the Team Guardian, the Guardian Initiative team that is now rowing their way across the Atlantic Ocean. You've heard about the team from San Juan County. They are in the water and making good time, it looks like, from the app that we're tracking them on. But they are rowing to raise awareness about mental health of our first responders, and so we wish them very well. They're on a 3,000-mile row across the Atlantic from the Canary Islands, where we spoke to them from, all the way to Antigua. They should arrive in about 45 days. Can you imagine spending 45 days on the open water in the Atlantic Ocean, rowing as your only means of moving? So anyway, we talked with them before they hit the water, and it's a great interview. It's a KSJE Extra. You'll find it on our social media platforms as well, Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. We always tell you that visual radio can take you places. Why don't we take you to a place this morning like New York City, where the ice skaters are out this morning in Bryant Park on Manhattan, and they are checking out the ice rink there, courtesy of this camera from YouTube and Bank of America. We appreciate that. Looks like they're having a lot of fun. It is currently, by the way, 39 degrees in New York City this morning, so not too cold on the ice at the moment, and they're expecting a forecast of showers today, and the temperature is really not going to get much warmer than it is right there at 39 degrees in New York today. Here at home, it's going to be a partly sunny day today and not quite as warm, but only 36 36 for a high in Farmington is our forecast. Clear skies tonight with another low of 13 degrees, getting very cold at night. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, 33 for a high on Friday, 6 degrees for a low Friday night, sunshine and 33 on Saturday, partly cloudy on Saturday night, low of 12, maybe some partial sun and clouds on Sunday with a high of 38, 38 again on Monday, and then as you can take a look, a slow warm-up next week with highs maybe by the mid to upper 40s as we get to the end of next week. Joining me this morning for a little year-end wrap-up of some of the events and accomplishments at San Juan County. San Juan County Manager Mike Stark is here in Studio A with me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be here with you.
Thanks for coming in. Also, Deputy County Manager Jim Cox is here. Mr. Cox, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Welcome back. KSJE, good to have both of you here this morning to talk a bit about how we're ending the year and, again, some accomplishments and what you're looking forward to in 2023. And so you've kind of put together a presentation that you've shared with some of our, say, legislators and county commissioners, of course, and so that's kind of what we're going to be going off of this morning. So, Mike Stark, let me start with you a little bit about how things are looking here at the end of 2022.
You know, very positive, actually. The financial health of the county is very strong, and of course, there was actually some great concern pre-COVID of where things were heading and the lack of spending and uncertainty of what was going to come with that and how the economy would rebound, and certainly we didn't anticipate the additional dollars that would come from the state and the federal government that have been helpful to fund a number of different projects, and so we'll share that with you.
Okay.
But in your listeners, but also just some of the other kind of transportation, quality of life, infrastructure that accomplishments we've had there this year, new programs such as the Mental Wellness Resource Center that seeing increased usage and providing a great service to our community and connecting folks to much needed mental health resources. And then, you know, of course, we're always focused on enhancing economic opportunities here in San Juan County. So I want to share a little bit with you about that.
Okay, sounds good. Let's get going. And starting off with some of the financial overview, and I guess some of the questions might be with this revenue that's been coming in, is it sustainable? You know, is it stuff that you think you'll be seeing year after year, or is it maybe a one-time influx of money? And I guess some of the COVID monies would fall under that other category, right?
Yeah, Scott, great questions, actually, because that's actually at the forefront of what we're looking at in trying to plan, you know, for FY24 and forward, really looking at FY23. It's unique. You know, as Mike mentioned, you know, we weren't sure with the pandemic how that would actually look. We're very fortunate that we have received several grants related to the American Rescue Plan Act. That has been tremendous for our area.
And those are significant dollars, right?
Yes, sir, significant. $24 million was allocated directly from the U.S. Treasury to the county. We're very fortunate to have the commission that we have who really looked at what are the priorities, what are the needs, and ultimately fully allocated those dollars. Really to revert back to your initial question, when we look at the financial health of the county, you know, what's sustaining and what's not, you know, we when we look at it, we have a lot of one-time revenue sources, and it's great for the region, it's great for the area. We're able to provide a lot of needed assets to the citizens, but we've got to look at those other recurring costs. You know, with PNM,
right,
San Juan Generating Station shutting down, we're still looking at that. That still is at the forefront of our minds because we've got to ensure that as we plan through this cycle and future cycles, that we can sustain operations, and you know, we're feeling good about that. Are also very fortunate that the commission is allowing us to evaluate a 30-year capital plan. That's really helping look at those large needs. When we look at those dollars coming in, how can we accomplish those large road projects, those bridge projects, any type of infrastructure? So overall, looking really good.
Okay, good to hear. That is good. And so we'll talk about a lot of these things as we move along. But this first kind of slide that we want to show our viewers, so if folks are watching, they'll kind of see a lot of numbers and some charts showing us the kind of the financial overview of the county. And so, Jim, give us kind of a brief. What are we looking at here? This is a trend?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for the viewers, I like to say I like spreadsheets. This might be a hard item to see, but when we look at trending, you'll actually see that this graph is showing what our operating, capital, and debt service budgets are. Like we said, we're really fortunate to have one-time sources. We're budgeting for the FY23 cycle $166 million. Whereas in FY22 is 144. So you see a lot of additional revenue. Now, that's a lot of those one-time grants that we're utilizing operations and as well as capital. Now, when you say is it trending, you know, it's really unique. When you look at that orange line, that's our percentage change in capital. And, you know, it looks like it's been steady from FY17 through FY21, and now you just see this real steady incline of spending.
Right.
A lot of that is actually related to supply chain issues. Mm. We've budgeted in prior fiscal year and this fiscal year for items that their lead time, some of them are 18 months, some are up to you know, three to 4 years. And so that's actually caused a delay. Obviously, we're able to fund those. We continue to carry forward that funding stream. So it appears that we're spending more, which we're happy to say we're fully funding capital. Mm-hmm. But we do have that trend of we just haven't been able to get the equipment because of the supply chain issues.
Got you. And just for folks, if they can't see the numbers, the specific years, but this chart is starting at like 2013, 2014. Fiscal year and going up into 2022, 2023 is what we're looking at. This range
Correct.
Of years basically
Correct.
Is what we're seeing. Okay, got it. Thank you for explaining that. And that looks like we're in a healthy place for the county.
Correct.
And
yep.
So things are going in the right direction. Revenue coming in, and that's another one. There's a lot of numbers there. And let me get that to update here on the screen, but go ahead and maybe explain a bit what we're looking at here.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. You know, you look at county operations, most counties are funded primarily through property tax. San Juan County is very unique in that we have a very large trade area, and so we have a lot of additional spending. And because of that, our largest revenue stream is actually gross receipts tax. We're very fortunate that the state legislature did pass a change to how taxes are paid, where the gross receipts tax changed from origin to destination-based. That has been a significant winner for our region. Mm-hmm. We at the time that came in, we estimated roughly 18% increase in collections.
How would folks recognize that? Is that more like internet sales, or is that what we're talking about mostly
correct,
here?
Correct. Okay. Yep, internet sales, yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, if you had other companies who may have been based in a, let's just say a town, who are actually doing work out in the county, that did change as well. So they're paying the, or those dollars come as into the county.
Gotcha. So that's significant because we're seeing
correct.
Certainly a lot of people are shopping online and buying
correct.
Things online. And so that certainly means that those funds come to the county.
Correct.
If the person lives
correct.
In the county.
Yeah, and those are the dollars we want to see. You know, to look back at your question, hey, what's recurring, what's not?
Right.
Sales tax is recurring. And so we want to ensure that we have a very strong tax base. You know, not only are internet sales strong, but when we look at the trend, again, this sheet actually looks from 2016 through 2022, mm-hmm. We're seeing a post-pandemic increase in spending, retail trade. That's both through internet sales and the brick and mortar stores. It's great to see. Now,
well, and especially, pardon me for interrupting, but sure. even during the pandemic when we were kind of shut down, couldn't go shopping in brick and mortar, but still people were needing to buy some of those necessities. And so
right.
the fact that the county can still get income from that is
right.
significant.
Yes, absolutely. And it's we received income, but there's actually an implementation period of 2 years where it's just recent that we're actually seeing the internet sales. We had just been allocated a portion from the state taxation and revenue. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to look at that tax. So you would say, okay, it's at 18%. We're great with internet sales. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we've got to actually consider or take into consideration is inflation. Okay, so because items are being purchased at a higher rate, we're actually receiving a higher gross receipts tax. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, this is a lot of additional revenue coming into the county that is free and clear money. Well, all that's doing is it's offsetting our inflated costs
expenses.
For our operating budget.
Sure.
Yes.
Makes sense. A wash, I guess, you hope.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
And that seems to be what it is. And mm-hmm. and hopefully, as we hear today, these days, inflation maybe is calming down a little bit. And so maybe some of these things will calm down, too.
We hope.
Right. So,
Scott, I might add,
yes, sir.
You know, for the benefit of the taxpayers,
yes.
You know, when you see the collections from gross receipts tax to help fund operations of the county, what that allows us to do is to have the second lowest mill rate mm-hmm. for property taxes in the state. And so a very low mill rate related to the county's portion of your property tax bill. So instead, county government's being funded by all of those folks that purchase goods and services in our area, folks that are coming from this trade area mm-hmm. that utilize the services too,
right.
You know, use our roads, use the ambulance service, or hopefully they don't have to use the ambulance service, but if they do,
well, they're prepared,
they're prepared, but they're it's paid for too through a gross receipts tax that's dedicated for that, and so
sure.
I think that's important for the taxpayers here locally to know. That is a huge benefit to them if they own property and pay property taxes to San Juan County.
Very much. I agree. And so that's an important thing to note. So thank you for that. Let's move on and talk a little bit about some of the other expense side of this. And as the money is being spent, where does it go? And let me try to get that on the screen as well. It's not shifting as well as I'd like it to, but we'll get it to do that. So let's see here. There it is.
Thanks, Scott. Start on that.
Yeah.
You know, for all of the listeners, what we really want to show on this is okay, we're taxing. That's what governments do. But where does it go? What are we doing to the community? How are we providing those services? So this is a great graph to show that our largest expense is going towards public safety. We want to ensure that folks feel safe, that they're protected within the region.
That, just to be clear, is the sheriff's office, right, and fire departments and the county fire departments and EMS.
The detention centers,
thank
EMS,
you.
Emergency management.
Right.
Those are all part of public safety.
Gotcha. That's the biggest chunk of your expenses.
Correct.
Every year.
Correct. I do want to point out that this is a great graph to show what we've budgeted versus what we've actually spent. And on that public safety section, you'll see that we had budgeted a lot more than we spent. And the reason why is we've got extreme vacancies.
Right.
I want to put a plug out there to anybody that's interested in a job. We are in need of sheriff's deputies, of adult detention officers. Please, folks, visit our website. Those positions are out there and they're available.
Seems to be some significant signing bonuses and other things to attract people maybe to consider coming to work here in the sheriff's office and other departments too, I would think, is what I've seen.
Yeah, no, we were fortunate to be a recipient of the retention grant that the state had put in place last year. We had to apply for those dollars, but San Juan County was a recipient of $3.2 million over 3 years. The majority of it's front-loaded to year one, but that allowed us to offer $15,000 retention and recruitment bonuses to come to work in law enforcement. And so, for folks that were looking at possible career change and not sure if law enforcement was right for them, I think it's going to help to make that decision a lot easier.
Right.
Because it has been tough to recruit folks into law enforcement positions. We also recently, the county commission, what we weren't able to do the same for the adult detention center because we didn't have that large grant to assist us, but we were able, through some vacancy savings, to offer a $1,000 6-month bonus for a retention.
Okay.
And if they stay 12 months, another $2,000. So that's $3,000 over the course of the next year as a retention bonus for our adult detention officers.
Nice.
We're short approximately 30 officers, so.
Very good. Well, good luck. I hope it works the way it's designed, but I know you're competing with other communities too, which are kind of in the same boat, right? This is going on throughout the state, unfortunately, and I think the country.
It's not unique to just San Juan County or
right.
even the state of New Mexico. This is a This is a it's definitely a recruitment and retention issue. Specifically, if you look at it, I mean, there are other specific fields or industries that are affected, but public safety, you know, the communications authority, dispatchers,
that's right,
are also suffering as well. And so, you know, the pandemic has changed folks' career options and desires, and we're hoping that that will change, because we have been able, through the fact that we've received some grants and experienced some additional revenues, to have some market studies done to, to make certain we're providing a 3% step increase, and to provide, you know, those market rates and benefits that our employees are expecting in those fields. So to stay competitive, because it's a very dynamic and competitive landscape, as you mentioned.
Right, indeed. And I think, too, the other thing that I hear about a lot is San Juan County and Farmington, Aztec, Bloomfield, and Kirtland, I think their support of law enforcement, where in some communities you don't see that, unfortunately. But here, I think our law enforcement gets a lot of support from the public, which I think is unique and important to note.
It is, and it's very helpful, you know, for folks in law enforcement to see that publicly. And then, you know, for us, San Juan County, that's a strategic initiative for us in 2022.
Ah.
And specifically, a lot of things that have been done to show our support from the County Commission, as well as other events that we've conducted, you know, throughout the year to make sure that folks are aware of the sacrifice that our folks that put on the uniform of their community each and every day are putting forth on behalf of them to keep them safe, to protect them and their assets. So
right.
Kudos to all of those that are in law enforcement, working at our detention centers. It's not an easy job, and we really do appreciate them.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, thank you for mentioning that as well. Let's continue on and talk about some of your funding requests, I think, for the upcoming legislative session. Pardon me. We have a 60-day session starting in 2023. And so the legislature will be dealing with a lot of requests, and a lot of money apparently is coming into our state, as we're hearing about just this week, with new forecasts of revenue, which is always a good thing. I mean, we're very, I think, grateful for the industries that support the revenue gains of the state, and how that will get spent is up to the governor, of course, and the legislature. But you have at least three requests here on the screen, and so talk to me a bit about what some of these are all about.
Yeah, Scott, we met with our legislators. These three projects were approved by the County Commission, first being improvements to McGee Park, replacing the rabbit and poultry barns that are used for the county fair, second largest fair in the state, and making it a combined single facility that can actually be utilized throughout the year. Currently, it is used for the fair, but it's got quite a few issues. It's actually below the water table. And, you know, as we all know, during the fair, you know, we have chances of rain, and with those chances are flooding. One of those facilities has a dirt floor. That makes it really hard for folks to come visit during the fair. And
nobody wants wet animals at the fair.
Correct.
So yes. That problem too. But so that would help, and that would make it maybe into more multifunctional facility too.
Correct.
If you were able
Correct.
To combine these two buildings into one, as you described?
Yeah, the intent is actually to have that available to a lot of the youth group associations to do their projects and have their meetings.
Okay.
So it certainly will benefit the community to have that available year-round. You know, again, climate control will have better air conditioning, heating.
Right.
This is actually one that we are going to be applying to the state for their capital consideration during the legislative session. But it is also one that previously the state had $40 million through a recreational quality of life grant. We're still waiting whether or not we are a recipient of that. Should we win that award, we do have some alternatives that we'll be applying for those.
Oh,
funds.
I bet you do. A long list, probably.
Yes.
Things you could
yes,
use money more, for. If you...
More than we could put on there. But
right. But and then for the radio audience who can't see the graphic, we're talking about $1.6 million, basically, for
Correct.
This particular project. So that's one out of three. Tell me about the other ones.
The second one is for a new fire truck, $600,000. Really, that is a continuous need for our fire department. We've got to make sure that all of the apparatus are maintained so we can have timely response.
Pardon me for breathing and just interrupting you with my gasp of just saying that I think it's important, though. You've got to have these vehicles at different parts of the county. It's not like you can have one truck to service the whole county.
Correct.
And so you have multiple vehicles that need to be replaced and upgraded. And that was going to be my point.
Yeah, absolutely.
By interrupting
by district. I appreciate that. It is. These have to be strategically placed throughout the county through all of our fire districts. And it's a continual process. One, actually, that we had estimated 600, but those cost estimates are even going up. That is one where I'd mentioned lead times. You know, they're looking at upwards of 36 months to even get one truck. But it's something that we're going to continue to apply for funding. The last item is actually not one that we're, as San Juan County, are going to apply for. It's support to the city of Farmington for improvements at Safety City. So Criminal Justice Training Authority has all of the law enforcement agencies come, and they have an academy. With that academy, they have a racetrack to train for high pursuits. That track is getting unsafe. There's areas where the gaps were upwards of 6 inches.
Yeah, yeah. Or there were some cracks in the track.
Mm.
It's one that we had applied actually for federal congressional directed spending. We weren't a recipient, but we do see the need. We see it's very important. It's vital to, again, where we say our largest expense is public safety. We want to support law enforcement. And so it's something that the commission saw important to continue to support the city of Farmington in that collective request.
Gotcha. About $1.25 million.
Correct.
Got it. And this is another example, I think, of how the county and the cities work together in San Juan County for these greater good types of projects that we're talking about, to throw your support behind the city's application and what have you. So I think, when the state looks at this, they know that it's going to be well used by a larger community.
Yeah, that's a great point, Scott, because it's not just us supporting it. It's the other agencies, Aztec, Bloomfield, the Navajo Nation, State Police, Game and Fish, that all utilize that facility to train their respective officers. And then just last year, we applied for and were the recipient of $3.2 million for a regional asset here in San Juan County, our Sheriff's Office helicopter. And that was in turn supported by the cities of Farmington, Aztec, Bloomfield, Kirtland, because they will all benefit from that resource being located here.
Right. Well, and the sheriff's office is ready to assist if there's a search or something in the city or in the other cities, and they need some air support. I think if it's available, it's usually put into use.
It absolutely is, and the sheriff is. If we even get requests from outside of the area, we're willing to go elsewhere if we need to. I mean, we want to make sure that it's utilized and benefiting the citizens, specifically in San Juan County, but if there's somebody in need, we want to make sure we can help them out, because today we're scratching their back. Tomorrow they're probably going to scratch ours if we need a resource here in the county.
Well, that state line is usually only on a map, I think, because we go back and forth all the time, and we're one big region, so that's very, very true. Some other pictures we have that you provided of some of the McGee Park improvements that we were talking about before, just to give an idea of those buildings that you were mentioning, would be one. And then, of course, the fire apparatus would be another, as I change the page here, so folks can kind of see what we're talking about. But these big trucks, and as you mentioned, maybe some of the delivery dates 3 years out, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're dealing with. And then the Safety City improvements as well, which I know, we're very, I think, lucky to have a law enforcement academy here, right? Because a lot of entities send their folks to Santa Fe for training and things along that line, but we're able to do that locally and change up the curriculum maybe a little bit, mm-hmm, to make it more localized as to what people will be dealing with, whether it's cultural issues or geographic issues or what have you.
Great job, Scott. You covered it all.
Well, I don't know if I did.
But in addition to that, our officers, cadets, get to go home at night.
Yeah,
whereas
true.
If you're at Santa Fe, you're going to a hotel room, you're away from your family. So the ability to be able to train locally and stay locally, that helps. Because it's a six-month program.
Right. And that means a big deal for folks who can go home for 6 months. So that's important as well. Some of the current projects, an update on some of those that maybe folks will be curious about and how things are going. You've got money to spend on some of those, and they're all coming along. Let's see. The first one is a Kirtland Walk Path project. That's 95%.
Yeah, that's part of a project that we had already previously worked on in the Kirtland area to connect the high school and the elementary school together through a walk path that's adjacent to a couple of the county roads out there. I think it's over a mile in total length. And so that was the last phase of that project. So another quality of life amenity.
Right.
I know you're not showing it on the screen, but the Cedar Hill Boat Launch, which would be the most northern boat launch in the county on the Animas. We're moving ahead with that. We received some Office of Natural Resources trustee funding last year. And so that project's expected to be completed this spring and ready for use avid rafters and boaters we have in our area.
Part of that outdoor recreation focus, right, that the area is looking at and promoting?
Absolutely, so. Yeah. And, you know, with that, you know, we were able to finish up completion of $1.2 million last year of trail improvements, OHV, as well as mountain bike, with the Mountain Bike Skills Park located on the north part of Foothills area in Farmington. We have another $330,000 that we'll be utilizing this year to work in conjunction with the BLM to open up more trails for use, specifically looking out west towards the kind of Kirtland Twin Peaks area. So there are a lot of great things on the horizon there. You know, when you look at transportation projects, we had a big project that finished up this spring, the 5500 bridge.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
A lot of folks utilize that, either that live in the area or occasionally will use that to traverse to Albuquerque. And then, you know, I know the joint project between the city of Farmington and San Juan County to receive funding for the Pinyon Hills Bridge Extension Project.
Yes, we've talked about that.
20 years in the making.
Right.
Over $40 million of funding we received with the promise from the governor that if it were to run over because of inflationary increases, that she would look to assist to make that project a reality after all these years and to provide that additional river crossing and hope to help alleviate some of the traffic congestion that takes place on East Main.
Right. And that, I think, is significant just because the money has been set aside. Basically, it's here. I think groundbreaking is going to start for either you or the city sometime in the spring of 2023. I think
I think it may be, depending upon the strategy that's utilized, the city could move forward, but I think they're looking at now a project that runs in full from 516 to Southside River Road.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we're going to take the project in the county's portions from Southside River Road up to County Road 390.
Right.
We're a little delayed in terms of we need to acquire some right-of-way. The city already has all theirs acquired, and so I think they're going to be in a little better position to get their portion of the project bid out first. But that's okay because they've got the bridge that they need to construct, which is the largest piece of this entire project.
Most expensive piece, too.
And most expensive piece, correct.
Gotcha. Yeah. But that's exciting. It's exciting news to see that happening because there's a lot of other follow-ups, I think, that come from infrastructure projects like roads, which would be development, housing, commercial, all those different things in the city and the county.
Absolutely.
I know you're looking at.
Transportation projects open up not just the ability for the motoring public to better access areas of the county, but economic opportunities that come when you do that. And speaking of that, freight rail. Well, that's another big project for San Juan County and the entire area, working with the Navajo Nation and Four Corners Economic Development, the city of Farmington, all the cities. I mean, we all benefit if we're able to bring a freight rail line up from the I-40 corridor up to San Juan County. And that project, we had sort of been stuck in neutral waiting upon some approvals from the Federal Railroad Administration, but those, as of 2 weeks ago, we've overcome those obstacles and we're moving full steam ahead, no pun intended.
Okay. Well,
But you'll see more on that project. We've hosted a couple of information meetings, and those were very positive in terms of the feedback we received. So that project, I don't think we'll finish in full having the complete feasibility study by the end of the year, but I believe we'll have some draft documents that we could share with citizens. And, of course, we'll want to get input on prospective routes and prospective industries that may be able to take advantage of such a line.
Very good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I think that's an important potentially game changer again project for the region. Again, this would go across state lines as well if you had access to rail a lot closer than where we what we do now, that would certainly change a lot of things for a lot of these communities. Yeah. There was another thing on the graph that I wanted to ask about, which was kind of the back lot with the movie industry and that investment. And we've seen, I think, some projects being done here, and that's always exciting. The Totaw Theater and the back lot, of course, the city now has mm-hmm. operations of the Totaw Theater, but the county is still working on the back lot project.
Yeah, the back lot construction is underway. They expected completion soon. That really opens up, when we look at trying to be a qualified facility mm-hmm. for productions to come into our region. A lot of them look at what's the benefit to our region. I think we have a lot to offer.
Right.
Adding this backlot structure allows them to really film anything that they want.
Pardon me for interrupting yet again, Mr. Cox. But this is going to be designed as kind of a Middle Eastern village, right?
Yep.
Because
mm-hmm.
the studies have shown that there aren't really a lot of those types of backlots available for film projects, and that was the reason that decision was made, if I remember correctly.
That and actually the fact that the majority of the films that you look at have that type of I guess. It's the trend, maybe.
Okay.
So that's
sure.
where a lot of the filming.
Well,
happening.
And we have the.
So we know that the needs.
And
there.
The landscape kind of fits
Correct.
That as well. So
Correct.
That makes sense. I thought it was a great, a bold choice to name it Micklinville, but thank you for doing that. And I look forward to seeing it
yes.
when it's completed.
We'll have you have to cut the ribbon.
Right. Okay. There you go. We are just about out of time, gentlemen, and I know we haven't covered much of what we wanted to this morning. But before we go, I didn't want to leave without talking about some of the financial awards mm-hmm. that the county has received about its accountability and some of the professionalism, I think, that goes on over at the county building. So, Jim, can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, Scott, thank you for bringing that up, because that is very important for the listeners to hear that, at the county, we look and strive to maintain financial excellence. And part of that is through several documents that we submit to the Government Finance Officers Association, where they're reviewing and ensuring that we're maintaining compliance really having that available and out to the public. There's three items that we submit to them. One is our financial statements. The second is a program budget book. And then the third that's really unique and something for the listeners to go to our website and look is what we call the Popular Annual Financial Report. It's really a summation of what happened within the county for that period of time. It is a snapshot in time, so it's a look back, but it allows them to really see in a nice summary those revenues we talked about, those expenses we talked about, but also what other statistics are happening within the region. Very, very good document. It's meant for all of the citizens to read, because ultimately, it's public funds that are funding this. We're very excited to say that we submitted these awards. The financial statement was the 16th award, 16th consecutive year. For the budget, the 14th consecutive year, and for the PAFR, the third. Additionally, our Housing Authority Section 8 management program, they submit for an award to ensure compliance with housing and urban development, and they've received that award for the 17th consecutive year. So really, it's showing that we're trying to maintain compliance. We want to make sure everybody is aware of that we are really trying to make best use of the dollars and do it in the right way. Lastly, though, I'm very excited to talk about an additional award that we haven't normally gotten. The National Association of Counties, we submitted for 2022 an achievement award for the Mental Wellness Resource Center. For those listening, if you're not aware of the Mental Wellness Resource Center, it's connecting, it's filling the gap of those in need. It's connecting folks to resources. I'll actually let Mike talk a little bit. He's got some statistics on those resources.
Sure.
Yeah, this is the second year
right.
That we've had the program in existence. We were able to get it up and running during COVID, which honestly was a really good thing, because there were a lot of folks that have been severely impacted
right.
by the pandemic. And so this year we had our number of clients that we've served over 800 with over 1,300 encounters to date. And specifically the last 6 months, we've seen a pretty dramatic increase over the previous 6 months, 134% growth in encounters and 83% growth in clients. And so kudos to our staff down there. That was during a time we were working fairly shorthanded, and they were able to provide not just maintain services, but expand services to the community. So just a shout out to them, because they've done a great job to really create awareness and, more importantly, to serve our community for those that are in need.
Very much. And it looks like from those numbers that the services are much needed, and certainly are being, at least folks are knowing, learning about them and taking advantage of them, which is important too.
Very important. I think just awareness alone is helpful.
Right.
Because you never know when that crisis is going to hit you, hit your family, and you need a place to go. And so the more that we can spread the message of the valuable resource that center provides, the better off that the entire county is.
Very true. Very true. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in this morning. We are out of time, I'm sorry to say, but it happens to us all the time then. We just need more time to talk about this stuff that the county is doing. But Mike Stark, Jim Cox, thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
Pleasure. Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas to both of you and your families. Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
We'll have you back in 2023.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Sure of that. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
My guests here on KSJE. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a full slate of entertainment to Farmington and San Juan County. The holiday favorite, A Christmas Carol, Friday, December 23rd at 7:30 p.m. The Farmington Civic Center, 200 West Arrington in downtown Farmington. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows or at 505-599-1148. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.